So welcome to our service today. Yes, we are asked to wear face masks in the building now, unless you're medically exempt. We can remove them for singing, which is an interesting thing. On the government website, it actually says, for necessary activities like eating, drinking, and singing. And under the singing, it lists choirs, and it also lists services, which is a fascinating sort of slant at the moment. I am still going to be asking you that if you really want to bellow, I can tell you what the hymn numbers are, and there is a huge car park out there. But Yes, we want to worship God. But please, just a little bit of restraint for those around you, because we don't want to put anyone in any danger. An exciting service this morning, and it's delightful to see James here. And we're very pleased he's made it this morning. Otherwise, I'd have to be looking for another candidate, having got the baptistry out. Do you like to come in, folks, who've been nobly working outside already? We have a Christmas lunch today, and I'm sure if any of the visitors want to stay, I can persuade my husband that he's got one or two more portions there. I hope so, but you'd be welcome as well. Don't think there's anything else I need to warn you about apart from saying, please help yourself. And if you know a friend that would appreciate that little magazine, take one, take a couple, have a read of it, pass it on. It's got all sorts of things in there. And if you're a Strictly fan, it's got an article on Dan. And those are our invites with dates of the times on. And please take one, pass them on. Put them up on notice boards if you can do. That would be brilliant. Let's start with a prayer. Though, first of all, I've got the poem, which hopefully will actually work this week. Yes, I know, Roy. So let's start with a poem, and then we will pray.
A secret seed is rich with promised fruit, for seeds are buried when it's time to grow. This life begins with one seed, tiny, mute, like treasure in a field, like yeast in dough. A secret seed is rich with promised fruit. We wait in darkness, wait in earth below. Seek out the signs of life in root and shoot, for seeds are buried when it's time to grow. A secret seed is rich with promised fruit, for seeds are buried when it's time to grow.
Let's pray. Lord, we come with hope-filled expectation. Hope-filled because of the service this morning and celebrating baptism and church membership. We come with hope-filled expectation because that's part of the element of Advent, as we look forward to celebrating your coming as a baby. And we come with expectation of the kingdom growing and being fulfilled one day when you come again. Thank you for the chance to celebrate together. Thank you that we are here, that the restrictions have not stopped us actually worshipping in this way. And Lord, just bless us here with your presence and your peace in all that we're doing. We thank you for the money given here and given in other ways too. And ask, Lord, that that would be used for your kingdom. Amen. And can I invite Sue to come and light our candle in the crown? Three candles, in fact. And while she does this, I will read the screen and then ask you to join in on the second screen. And you might need that. The third candle in our crown, like John the Baptist, lights the way, preparing for Jesus, coming soon, in ancient times, just like today. Jesus, help us make way for you. O come, Emmanuel, in words and acts and in our lives. O come, Emmanuel. We now come to a first, which is we have Brian and Nick together, and we will see what happens.
This is one of James' choices as part of his expression of faith. Because it's new to the church, what Brian and I have suggested that I'll sing the first and chorus, and then we'll go back to the first verse, and you join in, okay? Listen. And then join in when you come up.
I know a few of you here will actually know it as well, but it's okay.
Oh,
thinking about John the Baptist today, which seems a very suitable topic for a baptismal service. John baptized Jesus, and now we see James following Jesus' example by being baptized. John the Baptist is often remembered in Advent, since he came before Jesus to tell people that the Messiah was coming, as described in this poem. And I'm looking for Margaret. Oh, everybody's hiding today. Thank you, Margaret.
John, the wrecking ball. John the Baptist. John Bulldozer. John the wrecking ball, levelling the mountains, laying roads, shouting out his call. No time left. The Saviour comes. Get ready, one and all. Prepare the way. Make straight the path and fill the valleys in. Knock down the mountains of your doubts. Make smooth the soil of sin. The Lord is coming. Shout it out. His glory will be seen. John the Baptist, wild and hairy, eats what he can find. No, not one to tiptoe round the truth, but says what's on his mind. No time left. The kingdom comes. Now don't get left behind. Prepare the way. Make straight the path. For we are grass and flowers. We die and fall. But our Lord lives, and now he comes in power. Fear not, Judah. Shout the good news. His word will live forever. John the Baptist calls the people. Hear the words I say. Turn from sin and be baptized. Wash your wrongs away. No time left. That longed-for Lord is here today. Today.
Thank you, Margaret. And thank you, Mike. Before you say, I know there's enough water in there, but... So John the wrecking ball, he came with power. He came and spoke God's word. But the Bible also gives us another insight into John the Baptist as well. And can I invite Janet to come and read this, please?
This is the reading, as in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. Thank you. Never do anything right, do I? When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect somebody else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. And he asked, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear the clothes are kings in kings' palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written."
I don't know if you've ever put the two things together for John, and it was certainly interesting in preparing this short reflection to reflect on what was happening to John at the point he'd been put into prison. But just think about it. Have you ever looked forward to an event happening? When you're younger, it was probably your birthday party or something like that. But have you had to wait a long time for a parcel to arrive or to know whether you've got a job or something else? At the end of the waiting, when the thing finally came, how did you feel?
Excited.
Well, somebody felt excited. I'm glad there's somebody feeling excited here today, Vera. Thank you. James has looked forward to today about taking the next step in his Christian journey. I don't know what you are actually expecting from today, James, but we will ask you at the end, okay? But this is a God-appointed rendezvous. We are doing what God has asked us to do. Part of the... Let's just go on. Part of the instruction of Jesus, which says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." It's a command. So this is a God-appointed rendezvous. We're baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But, as you are aware, James, and as many of us are aware, getting baptized doesn't mean we've made it. It doesn't mean the end of difficulties or doubts. You may actually feel even more under attack. And I would encourage everybody to remember James, particularly at this time. But have you waited on God for an answer to prayer or to sort out a situation? And how have you felt if the answers haven't come or if the answers haven't been quite what you expected? At those points, did you ever feel disappointed? Did you start to doubt or question what God was doing? In the passage that we heard read, we see John the Baptist's confusion, or even, you might call it, disappointment. John would have been well aware of the promises from Isaiah about the coming Messiah, the things that Jesus actually quoted back. Passage in Isaiah says, "Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert." Put yourself in the place of John the Baptist, if you can, for a moment. You have proclaimed the kingdom of God, the fact that judgment is coming, the fact that the Messiah is just round the corner, so to speak. You've criticized the powers that be, and you've called them to repent, to turn from what they're doing wrong, and make a radical life change. You've even baptized the Messiah, and then seen the Messiah sent out by the Spirit. Your hopes will have been high. You'll have been well and truly set on Jesus, fulfilling hundreds of years of waiting. But then you end up in jail. And Jesus, although brilliant, isn't quite doing all the things you expected him to do. Romans are still in power. There are still sadly corrupt priests and teachers running the temple. Vengeance and divine retribution promised by Isaiah is not in evidence. Where's the judgment and fire that you said about that was coming? Matthew's gospel reports this, as we've heard. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Think back to the baptism that John baptized Jesus and the assurances that came then. John knew. He's doubting here, very clearly. He's saying, what's going on? When we face doubts and disappointments, we actually should do what John does here. We should ask questions of God, even express our doubt, our disappointment. And also note from there, he sent his disciples. He had other people around him. And that's important, that we should be in fellowship with other Christians. John wasn't able to go to Jesus himself. He was in jail. There are some times we actually struggle to speak to God. If things are overwhelming us, we find it hard to find the words. We need people who will encourage us, who will pray for us, who sometimes are just there with us praying. Jesus bids us be baptized, but the church is an important setting for that to happen in. The Bible doesn't know anything about a solitary Christian. And so James will be baptized, but then we will welcome him into the membership of this church. The writers of the Bible encourage us to work for the building up of the church, to work with each other, and that is important. For John and for the Jews, they were waiting for the Messiah to come. But when the Messiah came, it was a surprise. It wasn't the kingdom they were expecting. It was a surprising kingdom, if you like. It wasn't about power and might. It was about self-sacrifice. His victory didn't come with swords and chariots. Instead, it lifts up the poor and the sick and the vulnerable. Jesus doesn't force anyone to follow him. Instead, he reveals God's love, the heart of God, to them and asks them, invites them freely to choose him as their Lord. So Jesus responded to John with the words, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor." These are fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. They are beautiful. They're remarkable acts. They're glimpses of God at work, but not the judgment and the victory over the Jewish enemies that Israel had hoped for. This isn't what John had expected, and doubts had come in as to whether Jesus was the Messiah for John at that time. But the thing is, it reminds us that we live in the middle of a two-stage process. And James, the writer of the book of James, reminds us of this process. Where's it gone? Okay. There's something strange here. Right, I will read the passage from James. He writes, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near." Stage one is what we celebrate at Christmas. Jesus is born to the world, the kingdom of God on earth. He lives and then he dies to restore all of creation, and he rises again, the victorious king of the world. Second stage, God will complete the work begun in Jesus, the judgment of sin and injustice, the cleansing of heaven and earth, the putting right of all things that have not yet been realized in their fullness. We live in between those two. John the Baptist, well, he was sort of overlapping with stage one, but he was between those stages. Ah, seeds of the kingdom, that makes more sense. There's the passage from James. Right. God has shown us the seeds of his kingdom. We've seen glimpses of new life in our lives and in the lives of other people, of Jesus at work. And we hope for the restoration of all creation. But right now, the passage in James calls us to be patient, to stand firm, to live with hope-filled expectation, and to imitate Jesus in our lives. So wherever we find ourselves, using our gifts, caring for the sick, reaching out to the lonely, tending God's planet, proclaiming the good news, we should be trusting in that glorious day when the fullness of the harvest will come and our disappointment and doubts will be no more. We're celebrating here James' baptism, but it's also a visual aid, if you like. It's much more than a visual aid, but it's a visual demonstration of what it means to follow Christ. James will be, we'll explain how to do it in a minute, but James will be going back into the water, and that equates to dying to your old life and to being buried with Christ. He will then come up, I assure you, James, okay? And that shows that we are raised to new life in union with Jesus, and that you've got that symbolic act there. And James, be patient and stand firm with God. Now, we will sing in a moment, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." And then we will get down into the water. And I have got some responses for you. They're up on the screen. And I will first of all say, "Christ is risen." And you will respond with, hopefully with a bit more enthusiasm. And then James will say the words, "Jesus is Lord." And you will respond with, "Hallelujah." Oh, that's better. Right. "Praise God from whom all blessings flow," please.
Thank you.
You can remain standing or you can be seated, whichever. If you cannot see, there is space in front of the lectern. If you want to come round and stand there, you're most welcome to. Sorry, James. Come on in, we want to smuggle this and say it. Right, James, turn around. And put your toes against that bottom set. And cross your hands across your chest. Chris and I will put our hands, one hand there, and we'll get them. Right? More hands. Like this. We will do the responses, and then I will be saying, baptize you in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And after the words, Holy Spirit, we will take you down. So I don't want to give people shocks here. You make a wonderful stand.
I try not to block you.
Anyway, ready. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Jesus is Lord.
Hallelujah.
James, you are now called to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, and I now baptize you in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This baptism. Those of you who've been through baptism, I hope it's reminded of your baptism and the promises you made then. And I want to say to you, hold on to them. Hold on to what the experience meant to you then and still does. God is still the same. He does not change. Those of you who are Christians but are not baptized in this way or through another church tradition, I'd want to say to you, why not? My challenge is to follow the command of Christ in following him through the waters. Please speak to me or one of the deacons afterwards if you are interested in taking that step. If you are not a Christian, if you've not put your faith in all that Jesus did for you on the cross, in dying for you and being raised from the dead, then I would urge you to think through all you've heard and seen today. Jesus is alive and is at work in this world. Making him Lord of your life does not make everything easy or happy. He doesn't promise to make everything comfortable, but it is the best way to live one's life. Again, please talk to me afterwards or one of the deacons if you want to take this step of faith. And now I say a big thank you to Maureen. Take your time, and we'll be back soon. Thank you, Roy.
A time of prayer while we're waiting for them to get changed. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together this morning into your house to praise and worship together. to encourage one another, especially as COVID cases continue to rise with yet another new variant. But we thank you for the vaccination programme and the protection that it gives us, but we know we must continue to be vigilant. Lord, we pray especially for those who are unable to come to church today and to witness James' baptism because they are unwell or waiting for hospital treatment or simply don't feel comfortable about coming out. Let's just have a short time of silence. Name in your heart, or out loud if you wish, the name of someone who's not with us this morning, or who is unwell or weary of coming out. So just a short session of silence. We just lift before you, Lord, and all these people whose names have been shared this morning. And we thank you for our families and our friends. And may we continue to be a support and encouragement to them. We thank you especially this morning, Lord, for the great joy of witnessing James' baptism. Philippians 2, verses 14 and 15 in the Message edition says, "Go out into the world, a breath of fresh air in this squalid and polluted society. Provide people with a glimpse of good living and of the living God. Carry the light-giving message into the night." Lord, we pray that for James, and that indeed all of us might live our lives according to those verses. Amen. Looking to the wider world, I'd like to read a passage entitled "Hope-Filled Expectation" from Worship in the Waiting by Sarah and Sam Hargreaves. We look at our world, so desperately in need of you. Deserts spread, harvests fail, and people thirst. But you promise, the desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. We bring to you those who suffer with droughts and famines, that you would provide for their needs. And we pray for those who work for environmental justice, who battle for a better stewardship of your creation. We could proclaim that Jesus, you have come, and you will come again. Help us work for the justice of your kingdom. We look to our world so desperately in need of you. Nations act selfishly, injustices deepen, and people suffer with anxiety and depression. But you promise to strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, "Be strong, do not fear." We bring you those who suffer from fear and anxiety, that you would bring healing to their souls. And we pray for those who work to strengthen the fearful, the therapists, social workers, counsellors and pastors. We proclaim that Jesus, you have come and you will come again. Help us work for the justice of your kingdom. We look to our world so desperately in need of you. Illness cripples potential, causing pain and suffering. But you promise, then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the mute tongues shout for joy. We bring you those we know personally who are ill at this time, that you will bring healing to their bodies. And we pray for those who work tirelessly to care for those in physical need, personal assistants, the nurses, the doctors, and the medical missionaries. We could proclaim that Jesus, you have come, and you will come again. Help us work for the justice of your kingdom. Lord Jesus, we see in the Gospels how you fulfill Isaiah's prophecies, and we hunger for those promises to be complete. As we wait for your return, help us be your hands and feet on earth. We proclaim that, Jesus, you have come, and you will come again. Help us work for the justice of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
James, I've not given you a chance to do your testimony, so would you like to come and do that now, please?
Hi, everyone, this morning. I'm probably just going to give you a little background of where my Christian life started. I was really fortunate enough as a child. I started life out as in a missionary school in Uganda. And that's how I got to grow up and learn about Jesus, because of the missionary school. It was one, and missionary schools were really one of the better established schools in the country, so I was fortunate to actually have been able to squeeze into one of those schools. I spent 7 years in junior, and then it was about 2 years in the senior schools before I came to this country. Naturally, when I moved over to this country, there was a complete change of routine. The curriculum, my study program was completely different. So adjusting to the country, the new school I was given was, although it was called Christ the King, it was based up in Finchley, in North London. Everything was upside down, and it took me several months just to adjust to the new study. It was everything was completely different. So on top of adjusting to all of that, my Christian life faced a lot of challenge, and certainly what I expected when I moved over here, I had a fair amount of disappointment for various reasons, but I found myself not going inside a church for almost 5 years when I came to this country. And it wasn't until one morning when a good friend of mine, a good family friend, was faced with, they had a Bailey's case happening, and the sisters asked me to go and lend moral support and just be there for, just support. I turned up that morning, about 7:30 in the morning, at the Old Bailey's, to find that the sister was holding a book that absolutely caught my attention. It was Better Than Nostradamus, and I'd already known about a fair amount about Nostradamus and everything else, but I begged and I asked, and I realized she had only just bought the book that morning, but I begged her. I wanted to read the book. I said, look, I promise I'll read it in a matter of days. I'll return it to you. She was so reluctant, and I just absolutely beat her over the head because the title got me and I wanted to read it. She eventually relented, allowed me to read the book, and took me about 10 days to read the book. That book completely changed because it challenged my biblical knowledge. And there's so much about the Old Testament that I was never taught in Catholic school that I didn't know, that I got back into the center of the Bible. It challenged me so much. It challenged me so much. There's everything it was talking about in the Old Testament I knew nothing of. And I don't know whether it's a Catholic way of teaching or whether I was too young at the time, but most definitely I knew nothing of the Old Testament. And its relevance to the New Testament, they are in parallel. It's amazing when you start to discover the parallelism between the Old and the New Testament. And it's significant to understand that that put me back in the center of the Bible. The book was written by a New Zealand preacher who, unfortunately, he was in advanced years, and he went to the Lord in about the year 2001. But he most definitely challenged my spiritual life, reading that book and putting so many things in perspective that I had no idea of. It got me to question how I spent 7 years in a missionary school and still be so ignorant of so much in the Bible. But that's my journey. About 2-3 years ago, a friend challenged me about what I considered baptism, because I had been sprinkled as a child. And I thought that was adequate. And it got me to challenge, it challenged me to find out how adequate that was and whether that was sufficient. And I got to read, and this is the journey that I've come so far as a result of that challenge. And this morning, I'm so glad to just have been baptized and joining the Lord's family. And the journey continues. There are many challenges ahead. There's so many aspects that Jesus commands us to fulfill, commands us to, if you love me, obey my commandments. If you love me, then so and so. It's important to listen to Jesus' voice. And when I considered everything Jesus said of himself, what he said about himself, how important. I sometimes wonder if Jesus wanted to make a joke, what would it be like? Because to this day, we could simply have said, you know what, he was joking, he wasn't serious. How would we then be able to follow his word? And yet, he also had a very subtle sense of humor. We may know that from, for instance, the instance of the two people he met walking to Emmaus Road, after the resurrection. That in itself is a very subtle sense of humor, that they would walk, they would wait until they get into to the destination, only for them to realize who he was, and then he disappears. And it's amazing that whatever they had gone to do was now not important. They rushed back to meet with their colleagues and fellow disciples to let them know the news, and this couldn't wait. That in itself is amazing testimony. And I'm on this journey as well, ready to change and to embrace Jesus' word. Thanks so much.
We will have this song that's come up behind me now, and then I will ask James some questions, and then we will have the response from the fellowship. But first, let's sing Come, Thou Long Expected Jesus.
Jesus, come, Thou Long Expected Jesus.
Please be seated. James, would you like to come back up here? And in the baptism, we have celebrated the work of Jesus and James's life. And through the Holy Spirit, as he's just described, he discovered new life in Christ. But we all go on learning. I don't know about you, there are sometimes I read a passage, be it Old or New Testament, and I suddenly think, oh, where did that come from? I don't remember that from before. And God brings new insights into our lives through things that we read in his scriptures. So, James, it may well be with some of the Old Testaments, you had met it before, but it just hadn't registered. And God has re-spoken to you in an exciting way. We baptized James because Chris and I were assured of James's face. But I should have asked you a few questions first. So I will ask you these questions now. And then we will do the covenant questions, which I will explain in a minute. So, James, the declaration of faith. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do. This is the God in whom I trust.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Sorry, Lord and Savior.
I do. He has redeemed me and called me by name.
Do you turn from sin, renounce evil, and intend to follow Christ?
I do indeed. Christ is my way. He's the truth, and now he's my life.
And will you live within the fellowship of the church, and will you serve Jesus Christ in the world?
With the Spirit's help, this will be my witness.
Thank you. And now we've got some things called the covenant question. Covenant is just an agreement. A marriage is a covenant, an agreement between two parties. And what we're going to do now is a covenant, an agreement between James and the fellowship of the church. But with the responses, I invite all of you to join in and just stand in faith with what we are doing here. So James, it's a joy to be able to welcome you as a member of this fellowship and ask God to bless and equip you for service and witness. So a few questions first. Do you believe that as a follower of Jesus Christ, you are called to gather with other disciples and that now you are called to covenant with this local church?
I do. This is my duty and my delight.
Will you accept the privileges and responsibilities of church membership? Will you be faithful in worship and prayer, steadfast in service, and witness to the love of God? Will you share in its mission, encourage and support its leaders and members, and always represent Christ to those around you?
I will. This is my calling as a disciple of Jesus, in company with these people, and in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit.
Now, technically, I should be doing the bit called laying on of hands. Well, it's either that or we give James the elbow, but I don't think that's a correct idea either. I will pray for James, and I just invite you to hold your hand out towards James in a sign of blessing. So let's pray for James. Living and gracious God, you have called James to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and a citizen of your kingdom. Pour out your Spirit that he may be empowered for service and strengthened for witness. Lavish your gifts of grace and the fruit of your Spirit upon him, that he may live to serve and praise you and grow in the likeness of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. And then I invite fellowship and all of those who would like to join in as well, please, to join us with this covenant promise. We promise to pray for you, to encourage and support you, for together we are disciples of Jesus Christ and members of his body. Let us walk together before the Lord in ways that are known and yet to be made known. Gathering for worship, seeking the mind of Christ, praying for God's kingdom, and sharing in its life and witness. We are sisters and brothers together. Praise be to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So, James, if you'd just like to step a little that way. That's fine, as long as, yes, I have them. So, James, we welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ into the membership of Rockingham Road Baptist Church. And I will greet you that way. And I will give you those cards which celebrate that fact. James, to all of you, I suggest we give him a wee clap and we clap again. Thank you, James. We've already had one song that James chose. This is another one, and I think it is so fitting as we come to the end of our service. So I invite you to stand. You can remove your mask if you want to, and let's sing Be Thou My Vision. Thank you. We'll have coffee after the service, which is through there. And my only problem is, as you will have seen on the screen earlier, I'm sorry to do some housework here, the coffee list has disappeared.
No.
Yes. So if you think you've signed up for today, please go and make the coffee. And if nobody's making the coffee, please jump in with both feet quickly. But please, after the service is over, masks will need to be back on, and please be careful when moving around the building. But first of all, let's have a prayer at the end. So, send us out, Lord, to have faith that the waiting seeds will bear fruit. Send us out, Lord, to trust you through our disappointments. Send us out, Lord, to take joy in the journey rather than rush towards the destination. Send us out, Lord, to live with a tension of the now and the not yet. Send us out, Lord, to be patient and stand firm, because your coming is near. Amen.